Today, I'd like to share on the subject of what can God do? What can God do? If you would, go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 16. 2 Chronicles, in the middle of your Old Testament. What can God do? And He can do a lot, as we shall see. 2 Chronicles, chapter 16. Now, what I have here in my hand, this little black thing, is a cell phone. And the cell phone industry has called these things smartphones, because I guess they got a lot of brains behind the technology of it. But I have to admit, when I got this last year, I did not look through all the instructions as to how to use it. I think it's like a college course that you got to take to figure it out. But these things can do a lot. If you've got one or seen one or used somebody else's, it is quite amazing what these things can do. And you know, I don't know half of what this thing can do. I use what I use, but it's got a lot of stuff it can do I don't even know about. But they're called smartphones. Now that's something that man has made, and that can, you know, is amazing in and of itself. That but what about God? What can He do? We look at some of the things that He's created. He's created the stars. Man doesn't know how many stars there are. Rube might. He's a man. He's the closest to it. But would you say there's probably millions of stars? At least thousands. Could be.
It's way beyond that. It's astronomical.
Astronomical. A lot of them. And what's amazing, you know, on a clear night, you can see the light from some star that might be millions of miles away. And basically, as far as we understand, correct me if I'm wrong, Rube, basically stars are a formation of gases, right? And they emit heat and light and all kinds of other things. And they just are masses of gas. And God set them in the universe. The closest one is what we call the sun. And amazing that we can feel the heat from that sun, however far away it is. That one we know how far.
93 million.
Only 93 million miles away. And on a hot day in July, we can really feel it. What's amazing is God set up our solar system so that it never burns us. I mean, He could roast if the Earth was a little closer, probably roast us all. But He figured out all these different things. And that's just some of what He's made. The stars, our solar system. He can do a lot of things. And in 2 Chronicles 16, a great verse of scripture, verse 9 says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." He's looking around, finding someone that He can make show Himself strong unto. And He can show Himself strong because He can do a lot. We're going to go to Mark chapter 9, and we're going to look at some of the things that Jesus Christ did to exemplify what God can do. Jesus Christ operated or utilized or manifested God's power in many different ways. So what we read of what Jesus Christ did, these are things that God energized and worked out. It's, Jesus Christ performed the miracles. God's power was the power behind those miracles. So whatever you see Jesus Christ do, it's because God was involved. Jesus Christ said, "I can of myself do nothing." You know, it's God's energizing this whole deal here. And there was a man that approached Jesus Christ that perhaps didn't know so much about what Jesus Christ could do. And it was a father. And we're going to pick it up in verse 17. Chapter 9, I'm in the wrong book. It was on the wrong part of the page, so then I knew I was in the wrong book. Mark 9, verse 17. About a son who had some real problems. It says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master,'" referring to Jesus Christ, "'I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Dumb spirit is a devil spirit that causes a person not to be able to speak. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnashes with his teeth, and pineth away, where he's getting smaller, skinnier, and less weight. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless or believingless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer or carry you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway or immediately, the spirit that was in that boy tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Quite a sight. You know, he brings him to Jesus, and the kid falls over, and he's maybe, you know, it's just not a, it's a hideous sight. Verse 21, and he asked his father, a little question here. He asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. So since this boy was a little kid, he's had these problems. What an endurance for that father. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can't do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can't do anything, at least just have some compassion on us and help us out. Jesus said unto them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway or immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now, there's a humble man. When Jesus saw that the people came together, running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and he entered no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was one as was as one dead, insomuch that many said, well, he is dead. You know, the kid's bouncing all over the floor, and then all of a sudden he stops, and everybody's like, oh, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. So what can God do? Well, in this case, he took a kid that had some serious, major problems, possessed by a devil spirit, and delivered him. That's a pretty big thing. If that was the only thing that I could find in God's Word, what God can do, that's a pretty big thing. Let's go to Mark chapter 3. So this man at first just didn't know what Jesus Christ was capable of doing, operating God's power. But he sure saw it. So we're just going to breeze through some things here. Mark chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, and he entered into the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. They were a very loving group. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. So God can heal, as we saw in the last record. God can heal. He healed this man who had a withered hand. My sister has a withered hand, and it's just like dangles. It's just withered. It doesn't look like the other one. She can't use it. We call it the goose hand. And it's just withered. And she's never been able to stretch it forth. She uses it like pushing things, but that's about it. But this man stretched it forth. So God is able to heal people as they look towards him. Let's go to chapter 4. We really don't have to go very far to see what God can do. We're just going to stay right in the book of Mark here. Mark chapter 4, verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, referring to Jesus, even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, scared. No. His pants were clean. He was asleep on a pillow. So this thing's rocking all over to the point that the ship was full of water, about to go down, I guess, and he's still sleeping. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, don't you care that we're about to perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no believing? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? What can God do? Look at that situation. Incredible. Really amazing. Chapter 5. He stopped a raging storm. Verse 22. It says, And behold, there come one of the rulers of the synagogue, Stanley by name. Stanley. Yeah. Current name for him. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, referring to Jesus Christ, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. We're going to pick up the record in verse 35. He had healed a woman on the way. And in verse 40, you know, he's speaking to the lady and saying how she got healed. And in verse 35, it says, While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Before she was sick, now she's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. God had worked in Jesus Christ's life to go to that house and raise or heal that girl. Now she's dead. Circumstances have gotten worse, but the revelation was, go and heal. So no matter what the adversary continues to do to thwart the situation, if the revelation is go and heal, it's still available, even though now she's dead. But the father's got to believe. So he jumps in immediately. He says, don't be afraid, only believe. Verse 37, and he allowed no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them which wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado? And weep, the damsel is not dead, but she's sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. So he laughed. He felt so bad that everybody was mocking him. Now, it didn't bother him. When we allow the world's opinion of our lives or our actions to affect us, we're in bad shape. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumma, me, which is, being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Now she's dead. Can she hear? Almost sounds foolish, doesn't it? She's talking to a dead person. Can't hear. But he's speaking what God told them to speak. And that body, a dead body, is got to obey. Because God's involved with this. And straightway, or immediately, the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. Little detail there. She probably was hungry. But can you imagine? I mean, Brianna was 12 years old this past Thursday. Can you imagine Brianna being dead and then Jesus Christ walking in and raising her from the dead? Would there be a joy? Sure. Incredible. So we know that God can raise people from the dead. That's for sure. Let's go to Mark chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this, which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? We got our facts straight. Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. God gave Jesus Christ wisdom. So God must have wisdom. What can he do? He can give wisdom so that we can work circumstances to do mighty works. We have a manifestation called Word of Wisdom, where God can give us information to manifest his power. So that's, it says that by wisdom the worlds were founded, right? The sun and all that other stuff. Wisdom must have a big deal with living the more than abundant life. Let's go to chapter 7, verse 31. Like I said, you really don't have to go very far. And there's stuff in between all these. Chapter 7, verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. So again, we see great healing. Amazing healings. There's a record in Mark 8 about him feeding 4,000 people with just a few loaves of bread and a few fishes. That'd be a nice way of being able to feed large groups of people, be a little economical. But, you know, there was a need. If he sent them away without food, they would have fainted on the way back. God showed them it could happen. And so they got their need met. And it says that they all were filled. That's the Greek word kurtazo, which means filled to your capacity. So maybe some people would eat one bowl of Cheerios. Other people might eat two bowls. Some people might eat three bowls with bananas in it. But everybody got their fill. And that's really cool. It's not like, okay, I had my two bites. I'm satisfied, but I'm really not. But here's some. Everybody got filled to their filling. That's a pretty good feast. So, just by looking at the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can see what God can do. And what can God do for us? Well, one thing he can do is that he can love us with his love to the point that it will love your socks right off you. You are so taken care of with his love that your life is just, that's something that God can do for us. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. God can so love our lives, we can't keep our socks on. 1 John chapter 3. He can love you like you've never been loved before. And that's true. When we get exposed to the love of God and get his love and allow him to love us, it's something that we've never experienced before. Incredible. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. In chapter 4 of John, 1 John there, verse 16. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath loved us with. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath towards us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. We've been exposed to the love of God, and as I said, it just, he can love us till our socks fall off. It's just amazing. God can take a person that's hardened, the cruelest, meanest, nastiest, unkind person you could ever know, and with, if that person allows the love, God to love them, that love will start softening that individual's life to the point that he wants to start loving God back, and then he wants to start loving other people. Amazing. I don't know anything else that can do that to an individual. You take a hardened criminal and put him in prison, he can come out even harder. But with the love of God, when an individual allows God to love them, and people who have the love of God in their life allows them to love them, you become like melted butter. To be loved by God Almighty, that's quite a great thing. He can love us like no one else can love us. Another thing he can do for us is he can comfort us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He can comfort us like no one else's business. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The effect of God's love on our life is amazing. God's comfort is amazing too. Chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of some comfort once in a while."
No.
No, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations. Not just part of them, not just some of the big ones or the little ones. All our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. His comfort is so effective on our lives that we get so well taken care of that we now have the ability to comfort others. Now that's pretty good. That you can get so well taken care of that you now, I can comfort other people too. I've got my need met. I feel better. Now I can comfort others. Amazing. That's what God can do for us. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. We could be so taken care of in the realm of comfort that we get to a point where we can comfort others too. Our needs aren't so big that we just can't do anything else but take care of ourselves. Chapter 5, verse 1. Another thing God can do, he can give us peace. Peace is a rest. It's an absence from strife. It's an absence from from strife. It's an end of it. You're at rest, whether it's with a peace with God, a peace with yourself, a peace with, I don't know, you name it. But it's an absence of that rubbing against each other, chafing each other. And in verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, "Therefore, being justified by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Because of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, he made an atonement for us, and we have peace with him. We're not at loggerheads with him. He's not at loggerheads with us. And he has made it available where it's a relationship that's at peace. That's pretty cool. That's what God can do. Ever hear somebody say, "I just want to have some peace in my life"?
Yeah.
Well, there it is. That's what God can do. It's a great thing. Philippians chapter 4, we'll look at another one on peace. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 7 comes after the heels of verse 6, which is be anxious for nothing. Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God which passes all understanding. The understanding is the denotes the way of the process of thinking of the brain. And the way we're to think is in verse 6, where we're to be anxious for nothing, to allow God to meet our need. And if we think that way, then that peace of God is going to keep or guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You won't get frazzled because you realize that you've given it to God. You're not anxious for the things of, you know, that you may need. And you're at peace. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. Another thing that God can do for you, for me, is he can give you joy. Any of these are pretty good, wouldn't you say? I mean, you can write a song on any of these. A lot of people write songs about, you know, wanting all these things. Here they are for free. Joy. Joy is an internal gladness. It's a delight on the inside. It's like having a smile on the inside. It's a joy. It's something that you can't be robbed if you don't let it go. I mean, somebody could rob your shirt. Maybe some people don't want to rob your shirt. But, I mean, people can rob things that you have. But they can't rob joy if you don't allow it. They can't steal it. It's not stealable. It's on the inside. It's a gladness on the inside. And in Romans 15, verse 13... it says, now the God of hope fill you with some joy.
Nope.
All joy. And peace. There's that peace. In believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill you with all joy. That's not a bad deal. It's not based on material things. It's based on what God has given us. And that's pretty cool. What can God do? He can give you a life that's got a lot of joy inside it. A smile in your heart. You ever see sometimes real old people or real not to say anything to you? Because you're not old. Like Susan says, I'm not old. Right. Or really sick people. Many times they lose that smile in them. It's like they just lost a smile in life. You know, life has pressured them so much that it drifted away. But we don't have to live like that. We can have a joy in our heart that just keeps on going, despite the circumstances. You lose a hand, well, you got somebody else. You got another hand. Everybody's always willing to lend you a hand, so, you know what I mean? Give you a hand. Anyway, poor joke. Okay, our last one we're going to look at is in Philippians. Back to Philippians chapter 4. What can God do? God can supply your every need. I know that's hard to believe, maybe. The world obviously keeps saying that's no way that could happen. But here it is in the scriptures. We're going to look at it. Chapter 4, verse 19. And in any translation you read it, it's going to read the same basic essence. There's no mistranslations here. It's what it says. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God can so take care of your every need that you're taken care of in everything. There's nothing left that needs to be taken care of. Now that's a nice life. The world is constantly saying if you get enough money, you'll be able to live like that. They are constantly saying that. It's not true. Look at the ones that have a lot of money. You don't have to waste a lifetime trying to get all that money to live like that. Just look at the ones that already got it. History will show you. Now, having a lot of money isn't really necessarily where it's at. Will?
Just noticed all the way through all this, I know I'm not supposed to interrupt, but it says by believing or by Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So Romans 10:9-10, you know, when we become born again, it's all available.
Yep, correct? Absolutely. It's available to his sons.
To those who believe.
Yep, which is wonderful. Really wonderful. God can take care of our every need. That's what it says. I mean, really wild. What can he do? He can take care of our every need. You don't see him around here because this is, I guess it's probably illegal to even leave a dog running stray. But if you go to other countries, you'll see stray dogs, stray cats. They're just out there walking about. And they're really, really, really skinny. I mean, really skinny. They're like, you see all their bones, and they're dirty, and they're hungry looking, and they're worn out looking. God doesn't want us to be like that. He so takes care of us that we don't have to be like a stray cat or a stray dog living life. Like, we got so many needs that I just feel like a stray cat. He so takes care of us with his love, his comfort, the joy that makes available, the peace that we can live with on a day-to-day basis, the needs that come up as far as our food, housing, clothing, and extras. You know, what a life. What can God do? He can just really, 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 really take care of us. And that is just a sampling. You could go to the Word, and I know in a half hour time, you can come up with all kinds of scriptures that show great things that God can do for us, for his people around the world. So we have the best God of all. So you can congratulate yourself, and I congratulate myself for picking the best one out there. We got the best God. We were smart enough to pick the best one, and we're sticking with him. That's our story, and we're sticking to it. Right? Yeah. So, all righty. Well, we're wonderful.